Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Weekend Podcast with Derek Halpany, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 26 April 2024, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Chris Jakubowski, Director, Institutional FX Sales. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Hello, Derek. How are you?
Good. Afternoon, Chris. All good. Thanks.
Very good. Well, let's kick things straight off in the interest of time. We had the BOJ today. And I know you're calling for a July decision to be made, another hike. Were you disappointed today?
Good question, Chris. Yes, I think I certainly thought there might have been a bit more given in terms of communication, signaling, maybe just a more imminent potential rate move, or at least some signs of increased confidence in terms of getting to that 2% inflation goal. Like, we're still on the trajectory of, you know, progressing towards that, but there wasn't any change in language from Governor Ueda to alter expectations relative to the communications that were given in March. So we're progressing, but nothing significant to suggest a July move, for example, which is what we think. Having said that, you know, there is an element of every meeting is live, so to speak. And there was a lot of emphasis again when he spoke about the uncertainties around reaching the inflation goal, which he mentioned in March as well. He mentioned specifically firms' wages and price setting behavior. So in that context, the signal is still that wage developments, and therefore the Rengo-Shunta wage negotiations outcome. Now, we've had the third estimate. We know it's significantly higher than last year, about 1.5 percentage points higher at 5.24% at the moment. So we need to, I guess, see evidence of that transmitting throughout small and medium-sized firms at still those elevated levels to maybe give the confirmation. And we'll have that information in June. So that, to me, still leaves us in a position where they have a lot stronger evidence to justify a move in July.
And what do you take from the forecast that they also, I mean, they changed their GDP forecast and they changed their inflation forecast. The GDP forecast did the opposite they did last time, I think, where they have downgraded the GDP forecast a small amount and also increased the inflation forecast. Do you take comfort in the fact that they are raising those inflation forecasts and that being their core mandate to a rationale to tee them up to hike in potentially July?
Yeah, I would still say it's consistent with July based on what I just said a minute ago. The GDP lower projection is really more just taking us to incorporating developments more recently. You know, still significant, down from 1.2 to 0.8%. But ultimately going forward in terms of the inflation projections, I guess I was a little bit disappointed with the fiscal year 2026 projection. I thought it would be 2, maybe 2.1, given the fact that they raised rates in March. And he indicated that at the far end of the profile, that they believed they were meeting the inflation goal. But that was put at 1.9%, and then fiscal year 2025 was raised 0.1 of a percentage point to 1.9 as well. So I guess the 1.9 is a signal that exactly what they've been saying, we're approaching it, but there are still uncertainties around that. So the forecasts to me were another reflection of the progress, but still emphasizing the caution around that progress because of the uncertainties.
Mm. And I guess that leads us on a little bit to the currency, in the sense that that was probably, I think, 80% of the questions in the presser with Ueda were either on the quantitative easing potential or the wind down of purchasing of government debt or dollar yen. They were trying to get any sort of indication out of them. And I think the market, we can see from the way in which it reacted, that the market was hoping that maybe there would have been something. And I think, you know, it was teed up from Gigi the day before that there might be something about the quantitative easing. But focusing more on the currency, do you think that is becoming a concern which the market is thinking it is for the BOJ? And perhaps we've had discussions with clients this week on it as well, Derek, about the pass-through. Do you think that is meaningful as well, looking forward into, say, a six-month period where if we're still up here and you know, there's been no intervention and we're still trading up at 157 or wherever we are next week, even higher perhaps, you know, what are the implications there for the pass-through? And when does the BOJ really get interested in dollar yen being too high?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the BOJ did not help the MOF in any way, really, when discussing the FX. Certainly, as you know, when we were looking at it earlier, you know, there was an increase in the pace of yen selling when certain comments hit the screens, like Ueda saying that there's only a temporary impact. He also said that the impact isn't meaningful. Now, my assumption of that particular reference is that it's not meaningful in terms of the most recent leg higher in dollar yen or the weakness in the yen. Of course, you know, surely he must think it's meaningful from 120 to 160. Yeah. Of course it is. But I think his reference was not meaningful in terms of the more recent move. So he clearly hasn't helped, although there were some caveats in that, which didn't get into the headlines as much. Like he said, there is an element where it could shape part of the wage negotiations, and that creates a potential longer lasting impact of currency weakness. And he did say that. So, but, you know, the takeaway was, and I think this was important from the BOJ's perspective, FX is the remit of the MOF, not the BOJ. From an inflationary perspective, we're not yet at the levels that it becomes a concern on changing policy. To answer your question, you know, if we get to 160, and let's say we go higher and they do nothing, based on just rough analysis on import prices, getting to those levels certainly equates the potential for import prices going from, with the just turned positive again, but accelerating up to potentially as high as 10%. Now, in the context of what went before in terms of the energy crisis in 2022 and the speed of the move in dollar yen back then, it's smaller, but it still has implications in terms of lifting inflation. And then when you take into account this week, we have the PMI data from Japan, and the prices components in there are starting to turn higher. Mm-hmm. I just mentioned the import prices turned positive after being negative. And when you look at the Tanken report that came out at the beginning of the month, in terms of that particular reference that the BOJ made in terms of firms' price-setting behavior, the five-year expectation on inflation output prices moved to a new record high in that report. So there is the evidence there, but I guess obviously, given the communications today, they still need more. But I certainly think, you know, FX staying where it is or weaker, we will see that feed through, and there will be evidence of some pickup in inflation, and maybe the markets are underestimating that particular development that could take place.
And were you concerned at all by the Tokyo readings we got on CPI today? Obviously, there's been a lot of discussion about that being a pretty noteworthy sort of forward indicator on the national number. Then there's obviously been the caveat as well of school fees, which I think have been reduced free for people under the earning capacity of $40,000 or something along those lines. Anyway, but that has somewhat skewed the data. Do you think that's why basically dollar yen didn't really react to the data at all, or what are your thoughts on that number and then the national number coming up?
I think for sure that was the primary catalyst for the weaker than expected print. And of course, Governor Ueda was asked about it today and he said exactly the same thing. And, you know, from a national perspective, it's not going to have a notable impact. So, you know, I just think overall, markets correctly didn't read too much into that because there is a technical specific policy factor. And of course, going forward, the other thing I didn't mention is, of course, that the energy subsidies, which are still in place and have been extended until the end of May, at the moment anyway, are going to expire then. So that is another kind of inflationary impact potentially in June onwards. Now, of course, again, the caveat there is that perhaps they'll extend it because they extended it from the end of March to the end of April, now from the end of April to the end of May. So, of course, they could extend it again. But at some point, those will end. And it's important to remember that the current inflation readings include that government subsidy support. And in a way, you should be looking at the inflation perhaps beyond that. And those levels are higher.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Right.
And of course, I don't know what you're going to ask there, but just, you know, I've emphasized in the meetings we had this week that, you know, when we come to policy, and one of the reasons why I thought that they'd be a bit more forceful in saying, you know, more action is coming. Everybody looks at nominal policy rates in Japan and go, 0% up 10 basis points, you know, so what? It's been around these levels since 1995 when deflation started in Japan. And that's true. But of course, in real terms, policy is unprecedented at the moment, over minus 200 basis points. The lowest we got to from 1995 through until COVID, the worst point was minus 80 basis points on real policy rates. And we got as high as plus 170 basis points. That was the range. Mm. So this is unprecedented. And given where inflation is, you know, they should be doing more. And of course, the FX move is the flashing red light telling the BOJ that they should be doing more.
Yeah. And moving on to that, actually, given that we can't really rely on the Bank of Japan to help here, which, as you would have said, the Ministry of Finance are probably a little bit heartbroken about. But, you know, the question now becomes, the dollar index this week has basically been running pretty much flat, even for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, one of the major things for the MOF and on, you know, these this box ticking exercise of what they need to have to intervene is the fact that it's been led, really, what you can see by the yen leg of this. And realistically, from the points that you've made as well on a fundamental basis, it's probably not argued that it should be that much weaker either. So one has to then, you know, figure out that this is somewhat speculatively driven. Mm-hmm. And we've moved, you know, three big figures in this week alone, where DXY has been flat. We've, you know, 120 pips today. You know, it begs the question, when are they going to intervene?
Mm. Yeah, very true. You know, different theories have been put forward. Firstly, it's the dollar move, therefore they can't do it. But as you've just said, that's changed this week. So the yen is down 1.4% this week. It's Swissie's slightly weak, but the yen is by far the weakest currency in G10. The rest of G10 is all stronger versus the dollar this week. So we see very clear divergence. On the dollar fundamental story, I just don't buy it because I was looking at the 10-year spread, US obviously over Japan. And when the MOF intervened in September 2022, the 10-year spread was 350 basis points. A month later, in October, the spread was 400 basis points.
I was there.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And today, it's 380 basis points. So, you know, based on 2022, the fundamental rate story in the US is just not an impediment to action. Now, again, to your question, are they waiting for just a bigger buildup of speculative positions? Are they waiting for the move to extend and become really stretched so that the impact of intervention and the potential prospect of success is greater? That makes sense for sure. I think also, obviously, they got this statement from the US, you know, essentially the US acknowledging the, quote, sharp depreciation of their currencies. In terms of the moves that we've had, like I've looked back in September 2022, if you take a starting point as the most obvious previous low to mark a trend into intervention, it was basically 37 days into the September 2022 intervention, which was 11% in terms of the dollar-yen move higher.
Right.
A month later, from the low point after intervention in September, the low point up to the October intervention, which was 21 days, 7%. This move, the obvious low point was the 8th of March, so that's 35 days, we've had a 7% move.
Okay.
So you could argue this is a softer move still, although obviously it's
been aggressive of late, right?
Accelerated of late. So yeah, maybe they're waiting and they think the markets will become convinced because next week is Golden Week that they've got a free rein to kind of push it through 160. I'd still have to say, just on a credibility standpoint alone, and given all the comments that they've made over the last month and this statement, joint statement with the US and Korea, for them not to act, it just doesn't help their credibility.
No, I mean, I think the credibility is already pretty much wafer thin, and it feels like the market is trying to push them right into a corner to do something.
Yeah.
And this is why I think every day that they don't, it just begs the question. I mean, I think it's all the questions I really get from clients. And, you know, I think we're all looking around the trading floor and even, you know, management and just sort of thinking, how has it not happened yet in many ways? Because it feels certainly like we've ticked all the boxes and we're right up there. It's a valid point from yourself saying that we haven't perhaps moved that as much as they it happened before for them to intervene, but it just seems from the point we were, say, a week ago, where the rhetoric was so high and jawboning, and they've continued, and then we've rallied another three big figures. You would have thought, right? I mean, surely, how much more can you be watching with urgency? Should be more watching with patience. But it's a strange setup.
Absolutely, I think they've now boxed themselves into a corner, as you've said, which means the markets are going to keep going.
Yeah, I think more and more now.
Until it happens. And of course, the other point in terms of credibility is it's looking highly likely that Kishida is going to go for an election and therefore dissolve the Diet at the end of the next session in June, which would mark the potential for a general election in July. And again, like this, just like everywhere else, Japan has had a cost of living crisis. The unpopularity of the Kishida administration is primarily related. Okay, there was the LDP scandal, but it's primarily related to inflation and the cost of living. And to allow the yen just to carry on weakening and do nothing, we're just kind of undermine their support in the election. And that's obviously not what Kishida wants. So there's a political incentive there for the MOF to come in at some point. So I think it's, I guess, a matter of time.
Yeah, indeed. And then on your position, I believe you had a Swiss yen position. How's that been faring for you?
Not good.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned earlier about the Swiss because it obviously being the trades, being well thought out, but it feels like we've gone into a new regime this week a little bit with the yen and the Swiss, there's been a dislocation from the two of them.
I think the Swiss shorts logic is very good, and as I mentioned at the beginning, in terms of the FX performance this week, the Swiss is the only other G10 currency that's weakened this week. Of course, it's the other side of the equation that we've got wrong, and clearly we thought we were protected at some point lower than here from an intervention perspective, and also just on dolly yen and the US, which we won't go into that today, but the higher for longer has again been higher than we thought, and that obviously has scuppered the yen recovery story as well. So we're out of that, but we're looking. The growth story is picking up in Europe. Aussie clear outperformer this week, up 2%. We think the RBA is pulling back, and they're still quite cautious on hiking rates. If the global story, and I'm not talking about the global economy booming, but Europe in particular, from where we've been over the last 18 months, 2 years, where PMIs are certainly showing some pickup. And maybe just the global growth story is a little bit better than investors were thinking. And we can see some further Aussie outperformance. So we're looking at, I think, Aussie Noki. We were still talking about it before I came up with you. But long Aussie against one of the other G10 currencies. Looking at a relative play rather than an outright dollar play, because obviously next week we've got the FOMC, we've got payrolls on Friday, the other usual beginning of the month US data points. So it's a big week in terms of US data. So we decided to go for something, a relative trade rather than a dollar trade.
Good. Yeah, I mean, you pretty much touched on those points. Which I was just going to ask at the end was sort of like what you were looking at. Obviously, we do. Yeah, we have the Fed coming up. That's probably the one to watch next week, I would imagine, on the data front. I mean, we do have some Japanese data as well, employment, IP, and retail sales. I guess are they sort of in the sort of second tier, not too interesting.
They are really, like, to be honest, given data and data sensitivity and markets for Japan, wages and inflation are the two that really get the potential reactions. So in that context, I think for next week it's Powell in his press conference, and then obviously payrolls on Friday.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Yep. Brilliant. Thanks very much, Derek.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and contact your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.